We're ready for the word.
Yes.
Who's made for Mondays? We all are. Come on, that should be everybody's
yes.
hand. We are made for Mondays. We come here and we learn and we're taught on Sundays, but then Monday is our mission field. Amen?
Yes.
Monday to Saturday is divine ground. And that's what I talked about the first message in this series, was that Mondays matter to God. It's not just about coming together and celebrating Sunday and then we live a different life Monday to Saturday. No, 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 no. We are transformed and encouraged when we're together on a Sunday so that we can go into the mission field. We can go into that divine ground, that divine territory, instead of like dragging ourselves into Monday. It's Monday again. It's actually a brilliant opportunity to share the light of Christ in our world. Amen? So it becomes divine ground, not a curse to endure, but an opportunity to flourish. And then we talked about belong before believe, and this message reminded us about the importance of using hospitality to reach people, to connect, to gather around tables, to invite people to your table, to be proactive in that, because relationships around hospitality become holy ground, become places where transformation can begin. It's the simple act of welcoming someone that can literally rewrite their eternity. Amen?
Yeah.
Simply because you invited them to a table. Not necessarily to church yet, but to your table. Get to know them. Love on them. And then last week, from babies to armies. This message called us to grow up spiritually. It was an encouragement, not a criticism. Moving from the starting point of faith, where we all begin, or we're all at some point, nobody's made it. If you think you've made it, well, I'm sorry, you're wrong, and I'm happy to talk to you about that later. But none of us may ever make it, but we always have a next step to take in our lives, whatever that looks like. But it's all about talking about the journey from moving from the starting point into maturity and into purpose and into disciple making. And the term babies was never meant to offend anyone. If you read that and you're offended, go back and listen to my message last week. I clearly explained to you why we use that term, and it's not to bring offense, but it simply reflects the biblical truth that every believer begins somewhere and is invited to grow. If you're not growing, then you're not going. Amen? Did you catch that? If you're not growing, if you think, oh, I've made it, I've been a Christian since the days of Noah, I know everything, well, you're not going, because God can't use you if you're not willing to grow and continue to grow. So God is forming not a passive crowd. You know, we're not here for you to just sit and receive and go home and do nothing. But he's actually wanting a church that is equipped and mobilized as an army. Disciples who make disciples and carry his mission into everyday life. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Excellent. Well, that was more than two, so that's encouraging. Wonderful. All right, today, very simple title to my message. See, God moves when we move for others. Do you believe that? God moves in our lives when we move for others. Faith that carries others creates miracles. It allows God the atmosphere to move. So let's read some key texts. I'm going to read the account in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, where the man is lowered through the roof looking for his miracle. So let's read it together. I've got it on the screen, or you might want to turn to it. Mark, chapter 2. Verses 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the New King James, and it says this. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Who was in the house? JC. Anyway, immediately, that's old. Who knows Carmen?
Yeah.
Anyone remember Carmen? Well, I'm really showing my age now. Carmen sang the song, Who's in the House? So the answer's JC, right? And he goes, Who's in the house? Oh, seriously. If I'm going to do it, you've got to step out. You've just got to go all in. Ready? Who's in the house?
JC!
Yeah, that's more like it. Far out. What are we, wet blankets this morning? Come on. All right. Verse 2. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, everyone say broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, going, oh, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But don't you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. And then Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that everything you did was for others. May our hearts, may our lives reflect the same. In Jesus' name. Church, everything we've talked about so far in this series, everything I've mentioned from this pulpit, has been leading to this moment today. See, Mondays matter to God. Belonging comes before believing. We grow from babies into armies. Well, my question today is, who is your faith for? Who is your faith for? Because real discipleship never stops with me. It's actually more toward others, always. Jesus never called people to a private faith. Oh, I just keep to myself and I say my prayers at home and I read my word I just keep it to myself. Hide it under a bushel. No. He called them, all of us, to a carrying faith. A faith that lives, serves, sacrifices and moves for the sake of somebody else. That's why we're saved. It's not about being saved to go to heaven for eternity. That's wonderful and I'm so excited about that. But that's not our sole destination and of importance. What is most important is while we're here and the blessing that we can be to others while we are here. So today's message is called Others, because the kingdom of God always advances on the back of people who are willing to carry something else and someone else to Jesus. So if you're willing to carry someone, just give me a wave. Here we are. Should be everybody. Because we're all called to make disciples. Again, Mark chapter 2, we read it before. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, it's going to be some breakthroughs today in the house of God, in our spirits, so that we're prepared and ready to bring in the harvest. Because the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And so something's got to flick in you today, that you are here not just for yourself, not to just be a consumer on the chair that you're sitting on, but to actually be a contributor, someone who takes what they receive here, goes into their community, and makes a difference for Jesus. So, we've got to break the roof. Who likes breaking things? Oh, come on. Some of you aren't, but yeah, thank you. There's an honest man in church. We like breaking things, breaking through the roof. I want you to picture this scene for a moment from the scripture. You know, Jesus is teaching inside that house. The room is packed, like literally no room to move. Shoulder to shoulder, bumper to bumper, however you want to express it, that it is packed. The doorway is blocked because of that. The windows are crowded because everyone's gasping for air. That there's no obvious way in. And four men arrive carrying their friend, the paralyzed man, unable to walk, unable to help himself. So they didn't come for a show. They didn't come for the atmosphere or lights and smoke machines or whatever. They didn't come for any of that. They came because their friend needed Jesus. That's why they came. And when they realized that there was no access, they don't just turn around and go, well, maybe next week, It's a little bit hard to get in there. So we'll go to the next service, maybe next week. They don't say, oh, it's too hard. Look at all these people. How are we carrying our friend through to see Jesus? Let's just turn around and try another time. They don't do that. They climb the roof. And unless you physically see it, like you read it, and you're like, oh yeah, they climbed the roof. The man's in a stretcher. And they climbed the roof with that man. Can you imagine how difficult that was? Because here's the thing. Real faith doesn't stop when it hits resistance. Oh, it's too hard, let's go home. Oh, that's not happening, let's get out of here. Real faith actually looks for another way. If you're a person of faith, you shouldn't be someone who gives up so easily. Maybe things didn't work out the way you thought they were going to work out. Maybe you've hit a roadblock in the road. Maybe there's some resistance in a certain area of your life. Well, I'm here to shake you up today and say, don't turn around and say, oh, it's too hard. Don't walk away and think, oh, we'll try next time. Find another way. Just like these men climbed the roof with a paralyzed man, they found another way. See, they had a faith that refuses to be denied. That's the kind of faith Jesus calls us to have. Scripture says they made an opening in the roof. They broke the roof. Can you imagine that moment? Again, you're in the room, and all of a sudden, there's a rumbling in the roof. You know, some dust or whatever, fragments, particles, whatever, start dripping. You're like, what's going on with that? People are looking up in shock. Religious leaders are annoyed. Ooh, must be those people coming up through the roof, making a ruckus. Don't they understand this is a religious meeting? The meeting's interrupted. Here's the thing. Faith that carries others is rarely neat or convenient. It's not going to be all pretty and worked out how in your mind you think it should. See, sometimes faith disrupts schedules. Sometimes faith offends comfort. Sometimes faith breaks structures like a roof. and these structures that were never meant to stop. Sometimes faith comes and breaks all of that. See, church, hear me. Some roofs need breaking. Perhaps even in your life today. I mean, I should be getting yeses and amens and agreement in this message, but it's really quiet in this church today. And I'm not looking for your noise to buff up my ego, but I'm looking for you to be with me in this message. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
Let's not sit silent, but let's stir something up within us today. Stir up our faith, because there's a job to do. And I'm not talking about roofs of buildings that need to be broken, or that'll be fun. I'm talking about, let's overcome some roofs of fear. Let's overcome some roofs of routine. Roofs of excuses. Roofs of, oh, we've always done it that way, so why should we change it now? See, breaking the roof is actually an act of love. These men weren't being reckless, like the religious people probably thought. They weren't being rebellious and doing the wrong thing. They weren't trying to make a statement, hey, look at us, we're up on the roof. Ooh. They were desperate for their friend. Come on, church, how desperate are we to see the lost come to know Jesus?
Yes.
How desperate are we and are such a hurry because we know that the end is very near?
Yes.
It could happen tomorrow. How hungry are we to tell our loved ones that need Jesus about him? That's what love actually looks like. That's what discipleship looks like. That's what being a soul-winning church looks like. Getting uncomfortable and having a desperation and an urgency in what we're trying to communicate. See, breaking the roof means refusing to let obstacles, resistance, stop obedience. Oh, you don't understand my family. They're a bit too hard. I mean, I'm going to know them. That's resistance. Find another way. Find another way. Breaking the roof means making that call, sending that text message, having that awkward conversation with someone, praying even when you don't know what to say. That's what breaking the roof looks like. I'll keep inviting if I've been ignored before. Come on, invite them again. It might be the 10th, 15th, 100th time, and they finally say, all right, I'll come. But when you stop inviting, what opportunity does that person have? You know what? Love does not quit. Never quits. Jesus never quit on us. Love never quits. This is exactly what our vineyard pathway is designed for. I showed this last week. Can I just say, if you are part of this church and you missed last week, go to our website and watch last week's service. It only just got uploaded at the wee hours of last night, because that's just what happened this week. But it's there now. This is exactly what this pathway is about. See, nurture. They cared enough for this paralytic man to carry him up a roof, breaking through to get him to Jesus. Invite. They brought him to Jesus. And then integrate. They didn't leave him outside when it got hard. Oh, look, we've got it. We can't get in. We'll climb the roof, but we'll just leave you there and we'll sort you out later. No, no. They took him up with them. They didn't say, you wait here until everything's ready. They found another way. That's the kind of church we're becoming. Come on, we've got to be people who get really clever at finding another way. If you get some resistance or a no or a shutdown or a, we'll find another way. Not a church that says, oh, you figure it out. But a church that says, we'll walk it out with you. That's the kind of church that we're becoming. See, there's faith that won't take no for an answer. That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about. I've watched this play out in real life in my 30 years of being involved in Christian ministry now. I've seen parents pray for kids who were far from God for years and years and years and refuse to stop believing for them until they come home and they come home. I've seen friends that keep inviting someone to church who said no again and again and again until one day, you know what? They said yes. I've seen people carry others through seasons of grief, addiction, doubt, when they couldn't even carry themselves. And church, every single time that happens, heaven takes notice. Heaven takes notice of your effort, of what you do. Your never say die, your faith that doesn't take no for an answer attitude. Because Jesus didn't respond to the paralyzed man's effort. That's not what he responded to. He responded to the faith of the carriers. He was impressed. These people were so desperate to get this man to me that they would break the roof and lower him down to get him to see me. See, what Jesus saw was their faith. If you're willing to break the roof, God is willing to release a miracle in your situation. Break the roof of inconvenience. Break the roof of fear. Break the roof of passivity. Come on. Because someone else's breakthrough may be waiting on your persistence. And if you stop, I don't even want to imagine. God will find another way, don't worry, but he wants to use you. I wonder today, this is the first time I'm going to ask this, and I'm probably going to ask you this 3 times today. It's a really important question for you to consider. Who is God asking you to carry? A number of weeks ago, I got you to write a name down. Have you remembered that name? You're praying for that person? Some of you put it in your phone, some of you wrote it down. Who have you been asked by God to carry? Who are you carrying? Who have you been tempted to leave at the door because it got hard? Wow. Who have you quietly stopped praying for? Who have you convinced yourself that, oh, they're too far gone, they're beyond help? Church, this is our moment to break roofs again. Not with noise, not with pressure, but with love, persistence, and faith that refuses to quit. The tenacity, that's the word I was looking for before. The tenacity in your faith to never give up despite the circumstances. Because inconvenience is often the miracle. Let's be real. Carrying people is inconvenient at times. In fact, most of the time. It takes time you don't feel like you have. It takes energy when you already feel tired. It interrupts your plans. It messes with your schedule. Just ask us, we're pastors. It's never convenient. but always necessary. And that's exactly why many miracles never happen. Because most people are willing to care as long as it's convenient, as long as it fits into my schedule, my 9-to-5, whatever your schedule is. But Jesus never promised a convenient faith. That's not what he talks about. He actually modeled a very costly one. Again, Mark 10:45. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Does that sound convenient to you? See, if anyone had the right to avoid inconvenience, it was Jesus. And yet his entire life was one interruption after another interruption after another. And every interruption actually became a miracle. Think about it. Jesus was constantly interrupted. When you read the Gospels, Jesus was on his way somewhere and someone cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He was interrupted and there was a miracle. The blind could see. Jesus was teaching and parents brought children from near and far to Jesus, and everyone else wanted to push away. Oh, get the kids out of here. But they were interrupting Jesus, and there was a blessing. Bring the children to me. Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and the woman with the issue of blood for many years touched the hem of his garment. That was an interruption. But you know what? It was healing. Not just her healing, but the dead came back to life. See, Jesus never treated interruptions as annoyances. Can you remember him imagine him walking through that crowd, touches the hem of the garment, and, "Who touched me?" And he says that, but then imagine if he goes, "Well, you're wasting my time. I'm supposed to be going and resurrecting someone, healing someone before they, you know, they're so sick. And look what you've done. You've taken up, my schedule's all blown now." Can you imagine Jesus doing that? Maybe some of us respond to things like that sometimes because things happen out of our schedule that ruin our schedule. Church, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to stop seeing inconvenience as an enemy and actually start seeing it as an opportunity. See, carrying others will always cost you something. Always. Those four men carrying their friend, they didn't just give him a lift. They gave him their day. They would have traveled and taken up their whole day to do what they did for that friend. They would have had places to be. They would have had work to do. They would have had responsibilities to attend to. But they laid all of that down because someone else needed help. That's what discipleship costs. And that's what love costs. And that's what kingdom living costs. Hear me, inconvenience is not a punishment. Don't be the person that says, "Oh, why do these things always happen to me?" It's actually God inviting you into someone else's miracle story. What a privilege. What an honor. Let's bring this into our world just for a moment. You know, it's the text message that you're almost going to ignore. That person that texts you and you leave them on, you know, sent rather than read. It's the coffee maybe that you didn't plan on, that you wanted to go out with someone and have. It's the phone call that comes at the wrong time. Oh, that person ringing again. Oh my gosh, I'm busy. Whatever. It's the invite that feels awkward. You know, that person invites you to that thing that you just went to last year and you're like, "Oh, no, I've got to go again." And everything in you wants to say, "Not now, I'm too busy, someone else will have to do it." But what if you are the someone else? What if that interruption is the moment heaven has been waiting for? And you turn away from it because you're busy. This connects again to our vineyard pathway so well. See, nurturing takes time. Inviting actually takes courage, a bit of boldness. Integrating, it takes patience. And as we take them on our pathway in our church, which begins with newcomers, connect groups, discipleship, leadership, you know, disciples, it takes commitment for discipleship. We're going to be asking people that want to be discipled to give up Wednesday nights during school terms. That's a big commitment, but it's so worth it. When you're raising leaders, it takes trust and release. So it's not easy, but it's what God's calling us to do. And none of this is fast. Don't think, "Oh, here's a pathway and I'm going to sprint through it in 3 months." No. None of this is convenient. All of it is transformational, if you'll commit. See, if we only make room for people when it suits us, then we'll never become a soul-winning, disciple-making church. We may as well forget it now, and Nina and I will resign, close the church down and forget it. Because if we're not wanting to follow Jesus' final command, it should be our first priority. But if we're willing to be inconvenienced, God will move.
Mm.
See, love always interrupts. I actually thought of this picture this morning when Felix coming up here and Steve was up doing communion, and I thought, it's just a little kid that wants to be near his dad. And I thought of that. Love always interrupts. Every parent knows this. Every carer knows this. Every leader knows this. Love never fits neatly into your calendar. All right, this is my time to help people, and this is my time to... It doesn't work like that. I mean, it's good. I'm not knocking calendars. Alison is like, calendars are good. She's our calendar lady in our church. Loves calendars. Calendars are good. It's good to be scheduled. It's good to be structured. But it's also good to be flexible and ready for an interruption. All the people that like schedules are like... Anyway, it's all right. At the moment you say, I don't have time for people, is the moment you've forgotten why Jesus actually saved you in the first place. That might be hard for some of you to hear. But Jesus saved you for others, not for yourself. We were saved from sin, yes, but we were also saved for service. See, inconvenience is often the doorway God uses to release his power. What you see as a disruption, God actually sees as destiny. What you see as delay, God sees as divine timing. And what you see as interruption, God sees as an invitation. So let me ask you gently but honestly, here's my second time. Who has God put in your path that you've been trying to walk around? Who keeps coming to mind when I'm saying this? But you've pushed it away because it feels too hard, too messy, too costly. We've all got someone. Keep that name in the front of your mind. This is certainly not a message of guilt. If you feel guilty, I would like to call it more conviction from the Holy Spirit. I'm not setting out to make you feel guilty today. It's actually a message of grace. Because God doesn't call the comfortable, he calls the available. All I'm imploring you to be is available. People that want to nurture, people that want to build relationship for kingdom purpose. See, availability always requires inconvenience. Always. Because it costs you something. And here's the beautiful part in all of this. When you say yes to inconvenience, when you carry someone, even when it costs you, when you choose others over comfort, you step into a moment where Jesus does what only he can do. What a great moment to step into. Because the miracle never belongs to the carrier, but it always flows through them. You hear what I'm saying today? One of you. Awesome. Come on. Because of their faith, there is one line in this story that should stop us in our tracks, and it's when Jesus saw their faith. Not his faith, not the paralyzed man's faith, their faith. That tells us something powerful about how God actually works. Sometimes God waits for someone else's faith to step in when a person can't believe for themselves. That's why you were saved for others, so that you can stand in the gap for people that just don't know what to do yet. Sometimes God waits for someone else's faith to step in when a person can't actually have faith or believe for themselves. Many of us probably have a story where someone has stepped in for us in a time of need. See, church, this is the heart of discipleship. This is the heart of evangelism. This is the heart of our vineyard pathway. Faith was never meant to be private. It was actually meant to be shared. See, borrowed faith is still faith. Amen? So some people are paralyzed by fear. Some people are paralyzed by addiction, by grief, by disappointment with God, whatever it is. Some people are paralyzed by church hurt and they've been burnt by a church before. And when you're paralyzed, you can't move yourself. That's what being paralyzed is. You're stuck. And you can't move yourself toward Jesus. And that's why God surrounds people with others. This is why, as pastors, it is so frustrating. I'm just going to bare my heart on the sleeve with you. When people go through the most difficult challenges of life, they come to church every Sunday, but then something hits them and they disappear. They don't answer their phone. They don't come. They don't respond. They disappear. They're gone. That is the most frustrating thing as pastors, because that is the time when you need to be here the most.
Yes.
And I love your amens and thank you, but it's just such a reality that stuff hits people and they disappear. And they don't answer our calls. They don't respond to our messages. And then they get bitter and twisted. Then they even start saying bad things about the church. It's so sad. They need to be here when life is at its most challenging. Because when you face the storms of life, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to isolate you. Because an isolated Christian is an ineffective Christian. When you're isolated, the enemy has a win. So you stay home thinking, oh, I couldn't face people, I don't want to be around people. Actually, the enemy has twisted your thoughts to believe that lie, and now you're at home and you're not coming to church anymore, and you are bitter and twisted about the things of God and where the church is heading, and you're ineffective. But when the challenges of life come on, stay planted in the house of God. He is our rock and our firm foundation on which we should stand. So that when the storms of life come and the winds blow, our house doesn't go down like the sinking sand, but it's actually firm on the firm foundation. See, sometimes people don't even need another sermon. They need a friend who will carry them. Sometimes they don't need more information, but they need someone to believe on their behalf. Borrowed faith is still faith, and Jesus responds to faith. This is why nurture, invite, integrate really does matter. And we've put a lot of prayer and thought into this. It's not a gimmick, but this is exactly what Jesus would do. It's exactly why this process matters, because it's centered around the heart of Jesus. We nurture people because faith grows in relationship. Before belief, there is trust. Before trust, there is love. Why? Because we've nurtured a relationship. Before we've even introduced someone to Jesus or invited them to church, we've taken the time to nurture a friendship with that person. Know, like, and trust. And once we've gone through that nurturing process, inviting. Because faith needs proximity. Those people that hide at home, they're not within proximity of the people of God anymore. They are isolated, ineffective. People don't usually encounter Jesus at a distance. I'm not saying you can't, but it's usually not the case. They encounter him when someone brings them close. And then we integrate, because faith needs community. Faith needs to have community. People need to be in fellowship. People don't grow by hovering on the edges. They grow when they're woven into family. Those four men didn't just carry their friend for a moment. They carried him into belonging. There was purpose in that carrying. And that's what we're building here at Vineyard Christian Church. And this is where the Vineyard Pathway puts legs on our faith. Because newcomers, this is where borrowed faith begins. We start standing in the gap for people we're nurturing that don't even know Jesus yet. But man, we're praying for them. We're praying that the Holy Spirit touches them, that they encounter the presence of God in such a phenomenal way, we're in the midst of whatever it is they're facing. This is where borrowed faith begins with newcomers. See, people are carried into a safe place where they can breathe again and stuff can make sense again. And then there's connect groups, and this is where faith deepens. We nurture relationships, we invite them to a connect group. People hear stories, they ask questions, and they realize that they're not alone in life. That's why connection matters. That's why every single person that is part of Vineyard Christian Church is going to get allocated to a connect group. Now, if you don't want to go, or you don't want to turn up, or you're too busy, that's fine. But you're going to be loved on by that connect group leader, even if it's by message. They're going to follow you up. They're going to ask how you're doing. They're going to hold up your arms when they're tired. They're going to love on you and support you. That's what Connect Groups is all about, where our faith can deepen together through shared relationship. And people are going to hear stories, they're going to ask questions, and they're going to grow, and they're going to realize they're not doing life alone. Out of Connect Groups, people then, at the right time, in the right season, can step into discipleship. And this is where faith actually strengthens. Because foundations ground them. Freedom will heal them, and then purpose will awaken them. The dreamer within every single person. You know, we've all got a God-given calling. We've all got gifts that God has given us. And people that choose to go through our discipleship pathway, they are not going to finish that pathway without knowing that they are called on time for such a time as this, on purpose, because you have a divine purpose that God has given you. And then once you've gone through that discipleship pathway, then there's leadership opportunity. This is where borrowed faith becomes barren faith. It's not for everybody, and not everybody wants it. But many will be identified as called and chosen because of the gifts that God's put on your life. See, the one who carried now becomes the carrier. So you've gone through this whole pathway of being new to church, joining a Connect group, marching along the discipleship pathway to the point where we see a call of God on your life. You become a leader, and then you can help people do the same. You can become a Connect group leader. You can become someone who disciples people. This is how the kingdom multiplies, and this is how armies are formed. See, there's a faith chain. One person believes, and they carry another. That person encounters Jesus. They get healed, saved, and restored. Then they turn around and carry someone else. And this is how revival spreads, not through hype, not through platforms and big concerts, but through ordinary people who refuse to stop believing for others. And it starts in this room, and it starts today. Because faith that carries creates responsibility. Who are you carrying? This is the weight of this point, church. If Jesus responds to their faith, that means your faith matters more than you realize. Your prayers actually matter. Your persistence matters. Your invitation and your patience, it matters. Your obedience matters. Someone else's breakthrough might be waiting on your willingness to keep carrying them. So when Jesus sees our faith, lives actually change and are transformed. Not because we are powerful, but because he is faithful. Come on, do you believe he is faithful?
Yes.
We don't save people, we don't heal people, we don't change hearts, but we do carry people to the one who does. That's our responsibility. So let me ask you, church. I told you three times I was asking you today. But not with pressure, with purpose. Who are you carrying right now? If you can't answer that question, I want you to pray. Because I believe we all have someone in our world that needs carrying. And God's going to put it on your heart to have that uncomfortable conversation, that awkward moment, that weird phone call, whatever it is. Who are you nurturing? Who are you inviting? Who are you integrating into the family of God? Because one day someone's story will include this line. Because of their faith, my life changed. What a great testimony that would be of your faithfulness in being a carrier of faith for someone who doesn't know how to do that. There's no greater honor than that. So church, this is where the message becomes personal. And Jeremy, there's no keyboard, but you could come up and play some little ding-ding things for me. Our keyboard stand had a hernia, and that's all good. We'll sort it out later. This is where this message becomes real personal. A number of weeks ago, you remember, I asked you to write, if you were here, write the name down of someone that you are believing for salvation. And maybe you've forgotten the name already, or maybe you haven't prayed for them, or maybe What if life got busy and you just forgot about that moment? Well, I want to give you an opportunity again now to lift that person up to Jesus right now as we pray. And that's what I'm going to pray for today. I'm not actually here to pray for you today. We're going to pray for others. And I've actually just ordered these. I'm really hoping they'll be here for next Sunday. Little cards. Who are you carrying? A place you can write their name. And I've got two different kinds. One is a magnet you can put on a fridge. Is that convenient? One is like a card, like a business card that you can put in your wallet if you'd rather literally carry them with you. And pray for them at any given opportunity. And I don't care if you take one of those cards or 10 of those cards. Your promise to me has to be that a name is going on those cards. Just as I'm asking you to think of a name right now, a person that you're believing for to encounter Jesus. Who are you carrying? Who are you nurturing? Who are you praying for and believing for breakthrough in their lives? Maybe that person can't walk to Jesus yet. Maybe they don't believe yet. Maybe they're hurting and maybe they're stuck. But today, we carry them together. We're going to pray, and it's not a polite prayer. We're just going to pray. A carrying prayer. Because come on, who's a carrier in the room today? We all should be carriers of others who need to hear the message of Jesus. So why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to get you to say this prayer after me. And this is others focused. Hey, I pray for you for boldness, for strength, for wisdom, everything that you need to do what you do. But you get that every week. This week we're praying for others. So I want you to say this with me. Jesus, today we bring others to you. We carry names. We carry their stories. We carry their hearts that are heavy. We declare that what people cannot do on their own, you will do through faith-filled friends. We believe for salvation. We believe for their healing. We believe for restoration. When you see our faith, respond with your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Say this with me. We are carriers, not consumers. We are servants, not spectators. We will move for others. We will carry faith when others cannot. We will break rules, not give excuses. Because of our faith, lives will change. In Jesus' name, amen. May give me praise. Thank you.